Hallelujah. Without a doubt. Have you experienced that liberty that Jesus provided for you this morning? Are you able to come here free? No matter what's going on in your life right now, you are free. If you're a born again child of God, you are free. The liberty that Jesus set us free with. Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you to the worship team again for leading our thoughts this morning. And thank you to all of you for taking the time to come and to fellowship together here this morning and make us a time of giving honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The opportunity we have is tremendous. We live in a country that allows us to come together and be together and share our hearts and our songs and our voices, our fellowship to God's honor and to His glory. So it is a beautiful thing that we are able to do here today. So we are blessed with the Word of God and be able to share the Word and hear from it. So it's my desire again this morning that we would hear from God in the reading of the Word and hear it in the way that it was intended. Jim talked about how that the enemy tends to distort words by the time they leave my mouth till they reach your ear or vice versa. It's no question in our minds, I think, that the enemy sometimes has a heyday with things that we say. So I want you to hear the Spirit of God this morning coming through a man, and when it comes through man, sometimes you hear man. So let's ask the Lord to protect our time together. Father, we thank you for the Word. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come into fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us the opportunity to offer up praise to you and worship. And I pray, Lord, you would take that as to your honor, to your glory, whatever it is you want to do with it. Lord, we thank you this morning for the written Word. I pray that you would protect it, that as it comes through your Spirit to my heart and mind, that as it leaves my mouth, that it would reach the ear undefiled. And that today you would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. I love to start the new year with a word. And I'm going to get over this here just shortly. It won't be a problem. The mic, that is, not the word. But okay, let me start again. I love to start the new year with a word. And you've heard me give a word for the year. And as I was preparing the message for today, and it just, like, God gave me a word. And that word is the title of the message this morning, is rooted, rooted. And I thought about how the storms and the things that we experience in life and how that our plants and trees and stuff, they experience wind and blowing and they stay rooted. They stay upright in the ground if the roots are good. I have a neighbor across the road from us there that has a garden, and many of you here have gardens, and you understand the concept of growing a plant and it being rooted good, because if it's rooted good, you get a good plant, you get good fruit, you get good produce out of a plant that is rooted good. And this neighbor of ours, he's 78 years old, and he needs hip replacements and can't do it because of some immune disorder that he has, and so it's really hard for him just to get around, but he is up in the morning at 6 and going home at 9 o'clock. He lives on the Doughty house across the road from us on the farm, and he helps out at the farm. But my point being, he'll be in at the farm all day, and he'll come out about 6, 7, 8 o'clock in the evening, and he goes directly into his garden. And he tills that garden, he weeds that garden, he makes that garden. He doesn't use a lot of sprays and chemicals and stuff, so his garden takes a lot of time. He spends a lot of time. You see him out there in the garden, down on his hands and knees, crawling through the garden, picking the weeds, and giving just a lot of care and tender time to that garden. And Karen and I have been able to reap the benefits of his careful gardening, because he has a garden that's way bigger than two people would ever need. It's big enough to feed a family, without a doubt. And he does, he gives a lot of stuff away. It's where his passion is. If he were to have a hobby, I would assume this garden is his hobby, but he tills the garden. You know, I would be totally astonished to ever see Jesse go out there and just throw seed over the ground in the spring without tilling up the ground. But he carefully, meticulously tills up the ground and gets it prepared for the seed that he plants into the ground. And then he takes, hoping for rain. I don't often see him watering the garden, but seems like God provides the rain that's needed for the plants to grow. But you will often see Jesse crawling through the garden, pulling weeds as the sun goes down. And so I say all that to say that we understand the concept of being rooted. We understand the concept of the need to have our roots down in soil that is good, rooted in soil that will cause us to grow to the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ. And we're taking it to a spiritual level this morning, that if you're here this morning and you have been planted, the seed of Jesus Christ, the gospel has been planted in you, then I believe that it is on our part, it is in our best interest that we pay special attention to the growing of the plant, and that the seed, the root, that the root is good, that is not rotted away, or there's no bugs there, or there's things that are eating the root of the way, because it's the root that holds the whole plant in place. It is the root that keeps the plant strong to the honor and glory of God. So the word that I have for this year is rooted. We have no way of knowing what the future holds. We have no way of knowing what is to come. We have no way of knowing what storms will come into our lives this year. We have no way of knowing that, but we can know and we can be assured that if our roots are grounded, if they are deep and if they are attached to the Almighty God, the one who created us, the Creator, if the soil is fertile, if the ground is right, then the roots will be right. And so in order to face what is coming, in order to face the unknown, then I believe it is most important that we pay special attention to the roots. Are we rooted? Are we grounded? Is our roots down that we are ready for whatever comes, whatever might come our way this year, whatever might we might be faced with? If our roots are down, then the plant will stand. And there's no way to prepare for the unknown, but there is a way to prepare the soil. And that's where my message is this morning, is going to be: how is the soil and how are your roots? And are you prepared for the storm? My challenge is, be rooted. When your roots are deep, in the soil of godliness, the storms will have a tough time pulling up the roots. If our roots are deep, deeply rooted in godliness, the storms will have a tough time pulling up the roots. Now, all of you know that there are some plants. There was a plant, and I don't even know what the proper name is. All I know is it's Halvagalsteck. And it's a red root plant. It's a plant that's really tough. I don't know what the right name is for it, because Dad always called it Halvagalsteck, which means half a horse stalk or something. I don't know if that's exactly right either, but they would grow, they would take over. Dad would go out and dig them out of the field. They were hard to pull out. They were well rooted. But then you have weeds that are just kind of growing on the top, and you can easy pick them off the ground. But I would that we would be Halvagalsteck in our rooting, in our rooted down into the ground, that we were harder to be displaced. You can turn with me to start in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, I'm going to just read some verses here. And just to point out, and I talked about the storms coming. I talked about the storms that are on the horizon and storms that the wind is already blowing. And there are some things here that I want to point out that Paul pointed out to Timothy that I believe that we need to be aware of as we come in to the future and as we make ourselves as we pay special attention to our roots and giving them what they need. 1 Timothy 4, in verse 1, it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. And when you sear something with a hot iron, it becomes like lifeless, feelingless. Their conscience is seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created. And just bear note to that, which God created, because I'm going to pay special attention to that later on. To be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Verse 6, and Paul is saying to Timothy, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And that is my heart's desire for New Covenant this morning, is that I will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, then I need to warn, and I need to talk about, and I need to instruct that there is coming a time where there will be deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons and people forbidding to marry and forbidding to eat foods. So to be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. Then verse 7, but reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. So Paul is telling Timothy to exercise himself toward godliness. And the beginning of the verse, it says, but reject profane and old wives' fables. These are actions to reject and to exercise ourselves toward godliness. Louis, he has become, for the winter, has become an inside cat, okay? And I almost took a picture of him and put it up here this morning, but he was sitting there in the hallway this morning watching me, and his belly was, you know, he's not exercising much. He's not outside a whole lot anymore. So he was, his physique has changed a lot. But Paul says, exercise yourself toward godliness. Exercise yourself toward godliness. He says, for bodily exercise profits a little. It's not bad. It's good. We should do. But godliness is profitable for all things. For all things. Having promise of the life that now is, there's benefits in this life. If we exercise ourselves toward godliness, then there's benefits in this life and of that which is to come, then and also in the life to come is a benefit that if we exercise ourselves in godliness. So if we are to have roots, if we are to have those roots that go down, that take root, that supply the nourishment that we need as children of God, then we need to exercise ourselves toward godliness. Now I ask you this morning, as you look at coming into the new year, and maybe you have made some resolutions to do better as it relates to exercise and stuff, have you thought about spiritual exercise? Have you thought about exercising yourself toward godliness? Have you thought about your diet of the Word of God? Have you thought about your interaction with God, your time alone with God, your time in prayer? Have you thought about those things? Exercising ourselves toward godliness. Because in that, there is great gain. And so if there's one thing I challenge you to today, as you come into the new year and as you think about all these things that you would like to put behind and make new, make this a new one, that we exercise ourselves toward godliness. And you know what it is. You know what it is that you need to do, because so that the soil is prepared so that the seed can grow and that the plant can take nourishment. We have benefited from sweet corn, sweet potatoes and asparagus and all kinds of things that Jesse has brought to our door for us to enjoy from the fruits of his labor. And it's good. It's good vegetables. It's good stuff. It really is. Tomatoes and So not only when we nourish and when we exercise ourselves toward godliness and we bring forth good fruit, it's not only to our benefit, but also to the benefit of people around you. It benefits everyone. It benefits everyone when you give special attention to the nourishment, to the toward godliness. So in this scripture, Paul gives a warning of what is to come. And I believe it's one of the storms that I want to, one of the things that I found in this scripture is a simple three words, forbidding to marry. And one of the storms that I believe is coming with incredible intensity is a storm against the family and home the way God created it. There is no question in my mind that we are facing things that we have no idea to the extent where this thing can go with Satan's desire to destroy the home and the family. That's the storm. That's the storm that I see coming. And my question this morning is, are we rooted? Are we rooted? Are we prepared? Are your children prepared? Are you prepared for the storm that is coming that is to destroy family and home? And we see it in this. We see this here storm coming in divorce. And I know that some of you here this morning are caught up in situations that you had no part in, or that you had, that are not your desire as it relates to divorce and the tearing apart of the home. But it is a work of the enemy. It is a work of the enemy in our culture. It's as common today to hear that someone is divorced as it is almost to be married. And the scary thing about it is, it's as common in the church as it is in the world. There's a storm. There's a storm that is coming. Homosexuality. There's a storm that is coming that is taking away the sacredness of sexuality that God created. Divorce is taking away the family and the way God created it. Homosexuality taking away what God created. Transgender movement taking away what God created. It is a storm that is coming. And we think it's outside the church. It may be for the most part, but it is coming to the church. And are we rooted? Are we grounded in the Word of God? Do our children know? Do our children know what is right? Do they know what the truth of the gospel is? Do they know how God created this to be? There are drag queens being brought into public libraries, reading books to four-year-olds, indoctrinating. I'm asking you parents here this morning, I'm asking you, are you teaching your children? Because the world is, they're teaching them what they want to teach them. And it's happening right under our noses. It's happening in the cartoons, in the animated TV shows, and why not? It is being taught. It is everywhere. This sexual perversion. There are people who are identifying themselves as animals, and they call it furries. They give it a name now. They walk around with leashes on each other like a dog. It's not what God created. It is against what God created. And I ask you, are we ready for the storm that is coming? And at the heart of it, at the center of it, is the destruction of the home. That's what's happening. Destroying what God created. The women's live movement, pornography, all these things are against what God created. Are we ready? Are you prepared? Fathers, are you prepared? Have you an understanding of what God's word is? Because it is going to become so twisted that there will be no truth. Except in the Word of God. I feel the storm on the horizon and is already happening. Are we exercising ourselves toward godliness? Do you know in your mind, would you be able to take someone who has adopted these types of lifestyle, and let me say it clearly to you this morning. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. The people that have embraced these lies need truth. They need Jesus. It's the sin that is needs to be separate from the person. While they have embraced sin, while they have engaged in sin, the person is still valuable in the eyes of God, and we need to see it the same way. If you are repulsed and turned off to the extent that you cannot even reach out to these people, that you will find men looking like women, women looking like men, people with adopting this here like animals, we still need to be able to get to their heart. It's the heart, is where God wants to minister to. And separate the sin from the fact that they're lost just like another lost person is. Does it make them different? There's a storm. There's a storm. Are the roots planted? Is the roots down in such a way? To be rooted, the seed must first be planted. To be rooted, the seed must first be planted. Then the seed must be received by the soil. It needs to be watered. It needs to have nutrition. It needs sunlight. Then it will take root. It is the battering of the wind on the trees that makes the trees strong. As a young boy, I took a sprig off of a weeping willow tree and stuck it in water. And I watched it sprout. And after a while, I took the weeping willow twig out into the yard, in our front yard there at our house, and I planted it in the earth. I tilled up an area where I put it in, and realizing that it was so feeble, it was a weeping willow branch is very flexible, limp. And I needed to stake it, so I put stakes in, and I put strings to it, and held it upright. And that weeping willow took a hold, and after a while, I could take the stakes away. And after a while, it grew to the point where it was a nice big tree. It gave shade. They're very dirty, but it was in the front yard, and Dad allowed me to do that. And eventually, there was one branch that was enough that you could hang a swing on it. And so, when all the battering of the storms and the winds, if I would have left the stakes there, that tree would have never become strong. And so we have to recognize that the storms that we are facing, they're not all bad. What they do is they exercise our faith. They exercise our rootedness. And sometimes we need to embrace the storm. And there's this whole dilemma of, you know, speaking out against sin, and we should. And knowing the right time to speak and when to be silent and those kinds of things. But I believe that we should be speaking out against the storm. But we, first of all, need to be rooted and know where we ourselves stand. If we are ever going to bring truth to a world that has lost truth, then we need to be rooted in godliness. Are you rooted in godliness this morning? What is it that drives you? What is your passion? Are you rooted in godliness? Are you exercising toward godliness? What are your passions? What's your passion? If it's not toward godliness, then take a look. Because we, as the children of God, have an incredible opportunity through the indwelling of His Holy Spirit to be Christ-like. Are you rooted deep in the truth of Scripture about what God created? Are you rooted deep in Scripture about what God created? Not about what you think is right, but what does the Scripture say? What does the Word of God say? So that when you're faced with deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, you will stand strong because you have exercised yourself toward godliness, and you know what the enemy has planned against you. You can turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9 and 18 through 23. It's a familiar chapter, but a familiar scripture. But I thought in this whole idea of preparing ourselves, in preparing our hearts and being rooted and prepared for the storm, then we need to look at this whole idea of the seed and how it's planted and what it does. And being focused on being rooted, Psalms 1:3 says this: He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And that's the child of God. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, where the little finger roots reach out into the water and they receive all the moisture they need to grow. That's the child of God, planted by the water. The nourishment will come through and into your whole being if we stay rooted and connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. What I want us to notice this morning is that the seed of the gospel is available to everyone. The seed of the gospel is available to all. And its ability to take root and to grow when planted is dependent on the condition of the soil of one's heart. For it to take root and to grow is dependent on the condition of one's heart. And I want us to know this morning and to be brought in connection with again that there are life choices that we can make that our hearts are more fertile, are ready for the seed to grow, more fertile soil for the truth of the gospel to take root in. There are choices that we can make that affect that. There are choices that we make that can affect the growth. So looking at Matthew chapter 13, let's look quickly. Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 9 says, Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seed, fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell in stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Then jumping down to verse 18, Jesus gives an explanation of this here parable that he spoke. Starting in verse 18, Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, when the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart, this is he who received the seed by the wayside. And if you look at the wayside, it was the interpretation is kind of like it was a pathway that people walked on that was hardened. that would not receive seed. It fell on the wayside. It was the path that was trodden down. It wasn't tilled soil that was ready to receive a seed, and the birds would come and snatch it away. Verse 20, but he who received a seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Verse 23, but he who received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. He who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So here we have a good illustration of seed and it being planted at the right places with the ground that is ready and fertile. And looking at verse 19, these are some people are not only opposed to, but oblivious to the message, so the gospel. So there's no energy, there's nothing put into the roots growing down. The soil is not prepared, and the seed is snatched away by whom? The enemy, Satan. And it cannot reproduce, and it cannot be reproduced. In verse 20 and 21, we see the seed that was received on stony places. This is seed that he says, this is, let me find my place here. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word. Okay? Hears the word, immediately receives it with joy. You heard what I was saying. You heard the scripture read. You received it with joy. Yet has no root in himself, but endures only for a little while. It's superficial. It's just in the head. Never got to the heart. See, you heard it. You received it. Never got to the heart. And it never produced fruit. For when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, immediately he stumbles. And this is where I was really connected with this here. Are you teaching your children? Are you teaching your children to stand? With this storm, with this sexually perverted storm that is coming, are we teaching our children to stand for the truth of the gospel? If they see dad and mom standing for the truth, then I believe that is, first of all, one of the most important steps in them learning to stand for the truth of the gospel. Are they being taught? Are your children ready that as they go out into society, that they are prepared, that when they are presented with these ideas, that they will say, no, it doesn't line up with the word of God. Are our children prepared? Because they will suffer persecution. Listen, are we preparing our children that when they stand up for truth, when they stand up for what is right, they will suffer persecution? The Bible says, and Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. So there'll be this here, these shallow roots will not sustain a person. When this time comes, when we are challenged, when our children are challenged, shallow roots will not stand firm. Is your family ready to be persecuted for godliness? Speaking truth into a sexually perverted culture. We need to have the parents. You need to have these conversations with your children, much as you don't like to. Much as you don't like to. Because the world's teaching. The world is teaching. They are busy. It is happening. They are teaching. They're busy. Then in verse 22, now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. He becomes unfruitful. The deceitful, the thorns and stuff, they grow up and they choke out the word. Is the word, is the teaching, is your preparation pure before God? Is it landing on soil that is fertile? Is the soil ready? So in order to be rooted, first of all, the soil needs to be ready to receive the seed. The first thing is to plant the seed, to plant the seed. And then we go on to verse 23, where we wish all of us could be. But he who received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. He hears the word and he understands it. Thank you, Jim. I got a tickle and you observed that. Thank you. The heart that is ready is he who hears the word and understands it. He not only hears it, he understands it. And that's where I think some of us, that's where I think some of our struggle is today in our churches, is we hear the word and we hear it and we hear it and we hear it. But we need the guiding of the Holy Spirit to understand it. It needs to be brought through the Spirit to our spirit to be understood. Are we hearing it? Are we receiving it? So the received on good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. We're not all at the same place. We don't all produce the same. Not all expected to. What kind of soil is your heart today? Are you indifferent to the good news of Jesus Christ and the gospel message? Are you needing to spend time on the condition of your heart so that the seed of the gospel can grow deep, healthy roots? Maybe you're here this morning and you know that you have been struggling. You know that you have failed in your relationship, your time with God, the cultivating. That's where the soil is cultivated, is the time you spend with God, the time you spend in fellowship with him, the time you spend in his word, the time you spend praying together. Are you distracted? Has all the things that are going on in this world distracted you from taking the time to cultivate the soil of your heart? Are there too many things in your life clamoring for attention? Maybe there's too many things going on that just demand your time and your attention, and you feel like there is no time for cultivating. Jesse takes the time at 8, 9 o'clock in the evening, he crawls through his garden, cultivating the soil. Are you cultivating your soil? It don't have to be in the evening, it don't have to be in the morning, it don't have to be in the afternoon. Are you cultivating your soil? Maybe you need to make some changes this week. Maybe you need to dedicate some time to prayer. Maybe you need to cut out some TV or media or something. Maybe it's those things that are choking out time that you might have to cultivate. Maybe you need to dedicate some time in the morning to reading the word. Maybe you need to meet with pastor or a friend or somebody and talk about the things that are actually keeping you from your roots from becoming your, maybe it's things from the past, maybe it's things that hurts or whatever it might be. Maybe you need to meet with somebody. I invite you, the ministry team is open to meet with you, and maybe it's a friend or somebody that you need to meet with. Let's stand together. I do believe that I need to give an opportunity for the altar this morning, and I know that that all of us here this morning find ourselves at a different place in the garden. We find ourselves at different places. So that's not comparing ourselves to each other, but standing before God and saying, God, is the soil ready? Is the soil prepared that when you speak to me, see what I want more than anything, when I sit down to prepare a sermon, what I want more than anything is that my heart is ready to hear from God. And my heart is not ready to hear from God when I am harboring bitterness, unforgiveness, activities that are not right, that my soil is not ready. So you want your soil. He wants your roots to go deep and for you to be a plant that brings forth fruit to the people around you. I'm going to pray, and then we'll have the chorister lead us in the song, whatever, James, you feel fit. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, for the word. I thank you, Father, for the example of the seed that was sown and how it fell in different places. And Lord, I pray this morning that the soil of our hearts would be ready to receive from you. I pray, Father, this morning that if there are areas that need to be cultivated, Lord, that you would show them to us. Father, I pray for a holy anointing on the fellowship of believers here at New Covenant. Lord, that we would be able to go out from this place and that we would be able to be trees and that we would be plants that would bring forth fruit, that would bring forth produce that we can share with our neighbors that would be to your honor and to your glory. God, I pray that we would be people where people can sit under the branches of our trees and that they can find shade there and that they can find fellowship there that's relieving them of this here wicked world that we're faced with. Lord, I pray for strength in the storm that is coming. I pray for strength, Lord, that we would be able to stand strong. I pray for our families. I pray for our children, Lord, that all of us today would be able to say, yes, our roots are down and we're ready for the storm as best we can to our ability. Father, I pray for protection. I pray for guidance. I pray for an awakening to your word. I pray that the word, your Bible, your word, the holy word, would be the only word that we would sink our roots into. And Lord, that you would receive the honor and the glory. So, Father, right now, we wait on you, and we give you this time to your honor and to your glory in Jesus' name. If you're here this morning and you feel like you need to do business with God, the altar is open. And as James leads us in a closing song, if there's something you need to say to the Lord, take the time to do it. The time is now. The storm is on the horizon, and we need to be rooted. Are you rooted this morning?